Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping. Apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome to you, a day that's a holiday, a day that's also one to reflect and thank those who gave their lives. And it's not Saturday. We're really going to screw up the Wake and Bake Club. It is Monday Suckage, which doesn't quite have the alliteration, but there's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome in our marathon show until the 4th of July, or maybe until Mark has to leave for Bears training camp. Is that how it works?
Well,
we're just going to keep going. And
honestly, there is an OTA that I will be. I am looking forward to attending on Wednesday to lay eyes on Justin Fields. That will occur this week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the Bears will have a, let's just call it, for the sake of our Wake and Bake Club, to make everything so, a mini training camp will be going on, or do you say organized team activities? Steve, this is a big morning because, you know, as you mentioned, marathon show. Today, there's a couple of very significant things that strike me right off the bat as we get going. You and I will have, by the time 12:45 rolls around today, we'll have filled in for three of our primary shows here at the Score. We are right now, as we speak, we are filling in for Molly and Haw. Come 9 o'clock, we will fill in for Bernstein and Rahimi. And come noon, we will fill in for the first 45 minutes of the Lawrence Holmes Show. So today, my friend, is a massive day. And here's the other thing, Steve. You know this, having been on this earth longer than I have. Uh-huh. Today, being Memorial Day, is the day that the baseball people say we're allowed to start taking the season seriously, right? Isn't it always Memorial Day? Well, Memorial Day is when you start to take it. So now we can get mad at little things and minutiae and baseball stuff.
What would you like to get mad at, Mark?
Well, I suppose I could get mad at injuries as it pertains to the Cubs, because it hurt them yesterday for the first time. fifth inning.
Well, it certainly affected them. And the first inning, you've got your MVP third baseman playing first base, and then you've got some guy I've never heard of playing third base, and both had trouble in the first inning, and Jake Arrieta can't pitch over it, around it, through it, whatever it is, and there's your three runs. I mean, Arrieta didn't look like he had great command. He certainly didn't have great help. Five runs, but only two were earned. It's like, can we get some help? You can't, when you're as injured as they are, you need to be able to make anything, any base runner, you need to be able to move them around and not rely on the home run. And any opposing base runner, you can't start giving extra bases. This is not Halloween. We're not giving out bases like it's candy. And that's what they were doing. And there was trouble. That's the way it goes. Now, they had played so well. I mean, you go back to the start of May. They were what, five games out? It looked like it was all over. They're a half game out. And they have 11 players on the injured list. And yeah. Rizzo's not there, but he's halfway to the 10-day injured list, right? He's missed five straight games with back problems. He always misses games with back problems, right? So this is what you're trying to do. Here's your lineup from yesterday.
Yeah.
Jock Peterson, well, he certainly has shown up. That's good, right? You know, this is like it's not the big deal offseason signing you might have hoped for, but okay, he's leading off. He's hitting. Peterson, Chris Bryant, MVP candidate. Javier Baez, the now will forever go down, the most historic base runner who barely reached first base. Ian Happ batting cleanup, but he can bat anywhere. Wilson Contreras. That's a good top five. Here's your last four. Some guy named Ortega, some guy named Wisdom, some guy named Sogard, and a pitcher, and they don't even know who the pitcher's name will be today because they had somebody else go on the injured list because Trevor Williams had an emergency appendectomy yesterday.
Good God. Point. All right. Let me further our point. Let's call it our point now.
Can we have Maggie Hendricks like cross stitch something? Our point. She could make a quilt, a needle point, or something like that.
You're not gonna walk around with T-shirt. I'm with dummy.
It's our point.
Our point. That's our show. That's what our show has devolved into. Steve and I just make our points. We don't have separate points. We have our points. But in the fifth inning, let's be specific here. This is the first time where, yes, with all those sort of no-name misfit players on the Cubs, I was like, this is hurting them. Because, and I'm sure you watched too, Steve, 5-0 Reds in the fifth inning. The Cubs have first and second and nobody out. Tyler Mahle is the pitcher, and he was terrific for Cincinnati yesterday. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. He strikes out Rafael Ortega, Patrick Wisdom, and Eric Sogard to get out of the jam. But not only that, if Sogard had gotten on base, guess who would have been up? Nick Martini. Nick Martini was on deck. If only Sogard could have gotten on base, and he didn't. So, to me, that was the first time where it was the essence of, okay, the Cubs are in a good spot here. They've got first and second. Nobody out. Oh, it's Rafael Ortega, famous 4A player. It's Patrick. Who's Patrick Wisdom? He hit the ball well. But he didn't hit it there. There's Eric Sogard, part of the Cubs' famous contact trio. Nothing. But Nick Martini was on deck. He never had a chance. Who knows what would have happened if Nick Martini had a crack at the plate?
If only, Mighty Martini at the plate. And yet, on the other side of town, you see the White Sox. That depth, when they've lost a whole bunch of home runs. I don't know what the projected home runs were, but let's say 70 home runs when Jimenez and Robert, right? They lost them. They're injured. See you later. And then Billy Hamilton hits two homers in 2 days.
Oh my God.
Not unlike Jock Peterson finally waking up and figuring out that he's in the major leagues in Chicago. So he got over his injury. He was apparently started injured in the regular season, no matter what he looked like in Arizona. He was MVP in Arizona. he was DOA in Chicago in April, and then he came off the injured list, and he's been great. But you're seeing the depth come through. They're making plays. They're doing what they need to do. And you also see the stars doing what their stars. Lucas Giolito yesterday, oh my God, 12 Ks. So he's going to approach Chris Sale's double-digit Ks, whatever number of games that is, and he's going to get there. So it was his 13th game, 13th career game in double digits. I think, did Sale have 16, 20? Whatever, Giolito's going to blow past it. But you're getting things like that. You're getting that depth coming through, and that's what you need. That's the way these things are won, because this season is not last season. That's another thing for the Cubs. 60 games last year, get off to a great start, and then pretty much suck. You're average, and then you saw it in the postseason. You sucked in the postseason, and you weren't that team. So the Sox have used that depth. And we'll really see it now with Jimmy Lambert pitching. He was called up. Yeah. They're playing Cleveland. So they lead Cleveland by 3.5 games. They have a doubleheader today. And coming off a weekend where Liam Hendricks saves 3 games in 2 days. This is the first time since Bobby Thigpen 30 years ago did that. So he saves 3 games in 2 days. Carlos Rodon starts one game. Jimmy Lambert the other. And you think, wow, this is a thing. Jimmy Lambert for Charlotte has a 7.71 ERA. In 11 and two-thirds innings, he struck out 23. That's great. His whip is 1.46. That's not. This is going to be a wild ride. And Jimmy Lambert is the reason that Liam Hendricks saved all the games that they could save. We have no idea how it's going to go. Even a 7-inning game, I don't know how long Jimmy Lambert's going to go, but the Sox are relying on this kind of farm system. And it doesn't matter that we've never, you know, we weren't afraid. We had no idea who Nick Martini is or Rafael Ortega. You can still produce, and then we'll know who you are. We know who the Sox players are. We know they're getting home runs out of Billy Hamilton. How laughable is that?
You know, the Billy Hamilton homers and watching, like, yesterday was incredible because, like, he did it once and it just felt like this novelty act and everybody thought it was funny and they're chanting Billy. And then I'll be damned if he didn't do it again. And I don't know how he hits home runs with that swing of his. It's like it's a three-quarter swat at the baseball swing. His swing, like, he doesn't want to hit home runs. You know what I'm saying? It's not even just a matter of, well, he's a small guy, so he tries to hit. He's trying to hit the ball in places that'll get him triples or singles so he could steal second and subsequently third, as he is wont to do. But just that swing is just hilarious, and he got all of it yesterday. There's no doubt about it. Like, Billy Hamilton is the classic. Like, at this point, I would even say that there's going to be a point where you're barely going to see Billy Hamilton on the field. Like, that will happen once we get into July and August, and he'll be a very valuable pinch runner or, you know, whatever the case may be, as guys like that are for winning teams. But he's the classic guy of, okay, I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. He's hot. He's playing well. His teammates love him. He's like this sort of cult favorite all of a sudden at guaranteed rate field. Ride it out as long as you possibly can, because this eventually will run out. I'd go so far as to predict that he will not hit another home run this year, Steve. You could book it. Put it on your wagers, the wagers that you do on a daily basis. Put it down. Billy Hamilton will not. I've got the under on one as under. Got it? He will not hit another homer this year.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it plays out for him. See if it works out for him. Nice, yeah. I don't know that he's not there. It's the question is, who are they going to get back? And we have a texter. By the way, our text line, 312-644-6767. The text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The Reds were missing Votto, Moustakas, Senzel, and Aquino yesterday. Yeah, right. You still have to beat those teams. And those teams that are with look at the Cubs and missing all the players the Cubs are missing, you have to beat them too. That's the way it works. That's why teams look to buck up their depth. 773 texter, Monday suckage. Stop messing with my head, man. Back deck Jeff. It's going to be a good day for the back deck, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Broadcast day, so we always do this on Memorial Day because we always end up working, or we certainly work the weekend. We go back to when you used to have Michael Jordan barbecues and get-togethers.
Man.
Right? That's what Memorial Day was all about.
It
was Michael Jordan. That's what the day was. It was Michael and his supporting cast and whatever they were doing, and the weather was great, and it was hot inside whatever arena they were in. And basketball, by the way, the NBA has a problem. We're going to talk about that. And we saw some of it play out that we can connect some dots to the South Side. So we'll talk about that. There's fan unrest. It's not a pretty thing. Mark and I are broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We're broadcasting from now until the 4th of July, maybe the opening of Bears training camp, but Mark absolutely has to leave to see the competition between two quarterbacks who don't know the Bears playbook and a coach who doesn't know the game in front of them. So that'll be happening. And we welcome your phone calls. We'll take a break, but we welcome your phone calls. I mean, we have a breaking phone call sounder if anybody wants to call, 312-644-6767. Mark, I don't know if you heard this, but we have to play it because Liam Hendricks, White Sox closer, getting back to being that kind of guy that they paid all that money for, he came halfway around the world. He came from down under to sound like a Chicago sports talk radio host.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. So, well,
I have not heard that yet, so I am looking forward to it.
It's really good. It's something that in a past life we might have done today, and because of Liam Hendricks, we're going to do it today. We're going to play your Cubs Sox fandom off one another. At 9 or 10 o'clock, is it 9 o'clock, Mike Rankin, who's producing us? He drew the short stick today, and Mike Rankin is going to be at the board because Trash Panda outranks him. Mike Rankin, is it 9 a.m. for Scott Merkin of MLB.com?
Let's pencil it in for 9. We'll figure that out.
There's a lot of penciling in for the next 5.5 hours.
Yeah, why don't we just finger paint it, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Well, whenever Merk wants to show up, that'll be fine. That's the way it's a holiday. Saturday suckage works on Monday. That's it. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Liam Hendricks. He's your Sox closer. He's your Chicago sports talk radio host. He's from a different era. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hamilton to left. McKenna back at the wall. It is gone! Billy Hamilton squares up another baseball. And it's 1-0 Sox.
Well, Billy Hamilton has been a revelation for our Sox. Credit the front office, all of the evaluation guys who went out and said, you know what, we can use this guy. Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams said, you know, he's a great insurance policy.
Hamilton drills this ball. Did he do it again? The answer's yes. Oh, Billy the hitter. Back-to-back games. Billy, don't you lose that number. 1-1 in the third.
Call Lin-Manuel Miranda. His name is Billy Hamilton. Oh my God, that's Curtis.
When he said,
"Yeah,"
sorry, I'm just tapping all over you, Steve. Sorry, I'm out of rhythm. It's 7:25. It's Monday, so I'm just going to talk over you. I am sorry.
That's our show.
Yeah, when he did that, when Jason Minetti said that, and he said went through all of those different sort of
Billy cliches. Was the "Oh Billy"? Was that Dumb and Dumber? Oh Billy! I would love to know. I would love to
know. You know what? Jason Benetti is so there's such a social cultural zeitgeist with him that he really should come with footnotes. He needs footnotes. I can't do Sox math, but I would read the footnotes. We used to when I did Out Loud, I just let people talk. I'd eliminate my questions, just run their answers. And if answer wasn't complete, we would put a footnote in there. Mike Kellum said, "Let's do the footnotes." We put the footnotes in. And then at the bottom, you could make the connection there. I would read the Jason Benetti footnotes, and that's so all of those references, the cultural zeitgeist, he could be our social Sherpa. He could lead us through this. So talk to him about that. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your process? How did you get to where we are? How did that happen? And was this what I thought it was? Those are the kind of things that I would ask Jason Benetti.
Yeah, well, Jason needs that kind of reference. We need the footnotes would help. So here we have a bunch of Billy Hamilton. Billy, don't be a hero. There's your reference from somebody as old as me. Oh, Billy is from Liar, Liar. This is the 815 texter. Nipple on glass window.
All right.
I think.
Well, see you later.
Yeah, you know what? The texter is absolutely correct. I am now officially we are so past the sort of prime of Jim Carrey that now everything is sort of one big mash together, and it all really comes down to Dumb and Dumber.
But you had the Jim Carrey thing right.
I did have that right. Yep.
So somebody asked a 815 texter says, "If Billy Hamilton hits another home run, I'm convinced the ball is juiced again." That's a really good point. But this is a question for you, Mark, based on your bold prediction, Cotton.
Yeah.
224 texture. Does that include an inside-the-park home run for Hamilton?
Wow. And what I had said, if people missed it, my bold prediction was that as great as these Billy Hamilton home runs are, I'm setting the over-under at 1 as far as how many more home runs Billy Hamilton will hit, and I've taken the under. In other words, I've predicted that Billy Hamilton will not hit another home run this year, and yeah, I saw that text as well. I guess I can't not conclude the inside the park home run, so I might have screwed myself on my own question right there because you would think he would probably hit one.
But we'll keep track of it because you had also talked about the other part of that was the diminished playing time, and presuming he'll still be on the roster, and you go from a guy in the lineup because of injuries to suddenly being moved out, other guys gonna show themselves, and one of them, Andrew Vaughn. You know, I'd written down, and we might as well do a production show on the air without our real producer, but Mike Rankin has produced before, so Mike, you can weigh in on this. Do we need a drop of Lou Brown saying, "Vaughn"? Because Andrew Vaughn's going to do stuff.
We could do that.
Do we have it just there where it's clean? I don't know. Lou Brown's got lots to say. He's got a distinctive voice, but...
Shut up, Dorn.
Yeah, right. And then the best thing is when he just urinates on Dorn's contract. That was a great scene.
I tell you my favorite line is of the whole movie, I think,
yes.
of Coach, is when they're actually recruiting him to be the manager of a Major League Baseball team, and he is hemming and hawing. He's like, "I don't know. I got these tires to sell," or whatever they were. "I got these white walls." He considered preferring to sell tires than becoming the manager of a Major League Baseball team. "I don't know. I got these tires to sell.
Let me get back to you on that. I got another line calling about some white walls."
Some white walls. That's it. I got the line. I got a guy calling about some white
walls. It's a great line. Yeah.
It really is.
So if the whole idea of we started this with Billy Hamilton, and God bless it, we're doing that. The other part of it was the tease involved Liam Hendricks. So he is... your White Sox closer, So he came from Oakland, where across the bay, there were the big bad Giants, where they were getting all the love and the, they were getting the treatment in the Oakland A's. He keeps threatening to move, by the way, and have a very Spartan and unwelcoming ballpark. And now he comes to the White Sox on the South Side, where they have a wonderful ballpark with great food, far better than Wrigley. And he's discovered something. And so he comes halfway across the world and then two-thirds of the cross the United States. Here's Liam Hendricks beginning to grow into Chicago sports talk radio on days like today.
Liam, are you and the rest of the team getting a feel that you're getting a national attention because of what, besides uniforms, but what you're doing on the field?
I mean, a little bit, yes and no. I feel like we have to take four steps to get any sort of national recognition, while our cross-town rivals just have to put together one game and then they'll get on it. But I've dealt with that the last 6 years of my career. It's nothing as if it's anything new to me, but I actually enjoy that. I like being able to have to work harder to get any recognition, because that just means you have to put in the work. You really have to show that you're doing it to be able to do that. And that's just one of those things. It's like we have that chip on our shoulders, like, you guys can continue to talk about who is the number one team in the city, the number one fan base in the city, whatever it is, but we're going to go out there, we're going to do our business, and we're going to let everybody know how good we are.
You're going to make the series against the Cubs a lot of fun, I think.
Well, there's that. I also want to get a trophy. So I want to get something together. We need to think of, like, whether it be the Loop Trophy or something that can represent the city a little bit. Just add some little camaraderie between teams, because they got some great players on their team. They've got some really good people on their team as well. And I think that'll be just a way to kind of join it together. And then handing out, presenting a trophy between Ross and La Russa at the end of it will be just something to look forward to for everybody.
Does Tony La Russa believe in trophies? I don't know. Does that disrespect the game if it's just one series? Anyways, there's Liam Hendricks. He's your White Sox closer. Get a picture, get a red line car, and just do that, Liam. And he sounds like a Chicago sports radio host. What makes a good fan base? How come the White Sox are second-class citizens? The Cubs, all they have to do is the old Jerry Reinsdorf line, the Cubs sell sunshine, and they fill the place. So it comes back to the whole argument of when the Cubs were and remain the number one team in town, they seem to have a greater fan base. And that's back when they sucked and they did stupid things and they would still draw people. Is that a good fan base, that people show up? Stupid people show up when the team's losing and White Sox were winning and they still had trouble drawing? Or is that a more discriminating fan base? Liam Hendricks is walking right into it, and he's going to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle of Chicago sports talk radio. Thank you very much.
that was terrific, man, because it's like, everybody's kind of afraid to go there and say things like that, whether it's players from either team, because Cubs players don't want to stir that up. They really don't, deep down inside, as much fun as we have with it. And quite frankly, members of the media don't like to, because we, you know, it's almost like it's there and it's always been there. And it's sort of a thing of the past where you blast the White Sox for having no attendance and the Cubs for filling the ballpark and nobody really cares about baseball, neither of which is actually true. So it was good to have Liam Hendricks stir things up a little bit. But Sir Hendricks, the Cubs didn't just have a one-game winning streak. They had a six-game winning streak come to an end. And that's where you started hearing some of the noise from the north side, man. And guys, and we went through it already, guys like Rafael Ortega, Patrick Wisdom, Eric Sogard, and Nick Martini will not be denied, good sir. So just, and you know, I got to tell you too, I have to tell you, man, Liam Hendricks, I think some of this may have been stimulated by a show that I did the other day, where, and I have no idea what day it was because it is a holiday week, where I was suggesting that if Michael Kopech is to come back from his hamstring injury in short order, and hopefully he is off the bereavement list dealing whatever it is that he is dealing with in his personal life, that if Michael Kopech has this otherworldly stuff, as every time he pitches, that's what I hear from Benetti and Stone, why isn't he in a more important role still at this point? And that would be closing baseball games, because up until kind of recently, Liam Hendricks, every time he has gone in there in the ninth inning, it's made you nervous, and he has looked like a very normal pitcher. So why not
bounce those two guys around a little bit and tinker with Michael Kopech as the guy who gets the final two or three outs in a baseball game, if his stuff is as good as everybody is saying?
Well, his health needs to be too, both mental and physical. And you bring up a good point. Whatever he's dealing with, whatever put him on the bereavement list, and he's back from that. So we'll see how it goes. And it's interesting the way the White Sox set up this week with Rodon and Jimmy Lambert and his 7.71 ERA being called up, and he's going to start one of the game that Rodon doesn't in the doubleheader. They're playing Cleveland, and they moved up Keuchel to pitch on Wednesday, moved him up a day. And you do have – they don't know what they have in Kopech. I think that's the answer. He's coming back. Whatever his comeback involves, whatever – however hard, however fast he can throw a baseball – however long he can throw it at that speed, whatever he has in himself, do they want to commit to, oh my God, is this guy only going to be an opener? Or if we get five innings, does the bullpen stitch together the way we want it to? And that's a day-to-day thing. You just have no idea who you're going to need to use. Like today, you just don't expect, it's a doubleheader, but I can't, I guess we'll find out about Liam Hendricks. I can't see him going today. He saved three games in 2 days. Over the weekend, I don't see that happening, but maybe he's going to surprise us. It was good to see Garrett Crochet to throw that inning, and can you rely on him? So I think the Kopech answer is like a bullpen day to day. You just don't know what he'll show you what he's able to handle, and I think that's where you are on that, right?
Yeah,
how else would you do it?
Well, I think you're right, and it's an inconvenient time for me to bringing this up because I had been thinking about it before the hamstring and before bereavement. So those things have to be total and completely settled. And then you're right. That's the way, but I want the White Sox to act accordingly, as in just because Liam Hendricks is the guy that you brought in on the big contract and the big money and all that. I hope that they are not married to the idea that he has to be the closer for this thing to be legit. And Tony La Russa is not going to be so stubborn that he thinks that that has to be the guy. And, you know, I think back to 2005 with the Chicago White Sox, and obviously this was a differently run organization with Kenny Williams and Ozzie Guillen, but they went through three closers that year. They had Shingo Takatsu, who everybody loved, and he was, talk about, you know, novelty acts because he didn't last long. And then Dustin Hermanson comes along. I thought, oh, this guy, he's got it, man. He could do it. No. Bobby Jenks, here comes the big guy. Here comes the big dude with the 99-mile-an-hour stuff and the slider and the curve, everything that Bobby Jenks brought, and he ultimately was your closer. So I just like to see them tinker with it. I would like to see him in higher leverage, and he's been very successful. I get it, doing what he has done. But if he is as deadly as he is, I just think that they should try it. They should try it.
James Fox of, I believe, Sox Machine. Is James Fox of Sox Machine?
I believe that is right. Right. Yes.
And
he works for the
love
Machine.
The Sox. We work for the Machine.
Boy, here I have to step in real quick here. That is not Sox Machine. It is also it is Future Sox and Southside Sox. Thank you.
That's right. That's what we said. That's exactly what we nailed just it. Said.
James, we apologize. Thank you, Mike Rankin. So James Fox of
said.
Yeah, whatever. Repeat it again. So James Fox.
Future Sox and Southside Sox.
Okay. And he says, he texts in Grody. It's supposed to be a multi-inning role for Kopech so that he can get to 100 to 120 innings. He'll be in the 2022 rotation.
I understand that that's what the, like, I want to see Michael Kopech the starter someday as well. But I don't think they should get that cute right now. I think they should look at 2021 and say, this is our chance to win the World Series. Not next year, because it may not happen. And you may go completely south. Baseball might baseball. So do what you have to do this year. Make him your Adam Wainwright. Make him, you know, play with him in late innings. Never mind. Like, try to stick to some semblance of the plan. Like, keeping in mind that he could be a starter. But why not just go balls to the wall and doing anything you can to make this guy great and put him in really tight spots in the ninth inning? Like, I get that plan. That's fine. But I think that
you could better use him in other places to win right now, unless you want to sacrifice that.
No, but I think they are. I think that once you committed to Hendricks, you said, okay, here's our guy for 3-4 years. There's our ninth inning. And Hendricks has been mostly reliable, and he had himself a weekend, even against one of the worst teams in baseball. By the way, the Orioles and Diamondbacks since May 4th, if I have this right, they're 6-45. So the White Sox swept the bad news Bears. They're just an awful team. That's just horrible. So, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah, and that's a must sweep.
Right. So the idea with if you back it out with Hendricks, then you have Crochet and or Kopech, and you have Bummer and Cody Hoyer. And I'm drawing a blank on Evan Marshall. There we go.
Yeah.
So you have the way you can line them up.
And not Matt Foster, by the way. Matt Foster. Go on.
And so I think what they've done the multi-inning role. I think what James Fox is pointing out is the multi-inning role doesn't have to be a two-inning save. But it could be a two-inning save when it's the fifth and sixth inning. And then you get to this stitched-together part of the bullpen that becomes as locked down as they hope it can be. That's the way you saw that when the Cubs played Cleveland. Andrew Miller was acquired to be the sixth-inning closer or fifth and sixth-inning closer. Picks the sixth and seventh, get to the eighth, and then close the game in the ninth, and that's the way they set it up. And Kopech might be that guy as they try to get him over two innings, whereas the other relievers, they might just have a specific role that they have in mind. So I think they've done a good job of setting that up. His availability has been an issue.
Yeah, no, I think this comes down to a philosophical thing because, yeah, there is that. The bases loaded, one out, one run game, you got to have somebody who can come and just mow dudes down. And that has been Michael Kopech. I guess it comes down to what you value more. That's extremely valuable. I still value what happens in the ninth inning more. And even some of the times that Liam Hendricks got in there and successfully saved games, I was like, is he going to save this game? It feels very uncomfortable. He looks very hittable. And it just may have been, and a lot of people were getting on me the other night, saying, just let him work through it. And I'm not saying, like, bench Liam Hendricks. I'm not saying take him out of the ninth inning role. I'm saying tinker with it. Try it. Do it 5 or 6 times. Alternate. See what you got there. And then if it's like, now we really need him in these high leverage fifth and sixth Andrew Miller innings, then that's all good. The Baltimore Orioles, by the way, I had forgotten about this. So they've lost 13 in a row, with the Sox having won yesterday 3-1. And that's not even close to the worst losing streak that the Baltimore Orioles have ever had. Do you remember their worst losing streak, Steve Rosenblum?
Yeah, the Cubs in 98 challenged it.
They did.
And it was 21 in a row. Was that it? 20 in
a
row?
That was it, man. 1988, the Baltimore Orioles started that season 0-21. And I think it might have been against the White Sox that the streak was broken. My research can only go so far. So, yeah, 0-21 to start 1988. I had forgotten about that, and then I remembered it because I was listening to Len Casper, and he mentioned the cover of Sports Illustrated that Baltimore made it for being 0-21 that year when Sports Illustrated was, Sports Illustrated.
Right. Yes, on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
That's right, Steve.
Stone. So the when the Cubs started, I remember it was 98. I was writing Hit and Run for the Tribune, and they lost the opener. And I think it was Montreal was still in Montreal then, and the Expos were still the Expos. And I think that's who they lost to. And I had written in Hit and Run, it was always Good Morning, and I think that day was Good Morning Cubs. Lose whatever it was to the Expos. They've been mathematically eliminated from the division race. And I got an angry call. It went to voicemail at the Tribune. Angry call. And the guy was so mad and started threatening me.
Oh, God.
I had to send it to security. What do you guys want to do with this? And it was, you know, if I find you, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to slug you. You were I was just so mad that I had in this snarky column that had been established for 3 years that he's mad about the Cubs, a joke about the Cubs being mathematically eliminated on opening day. And as it would turn out, I never heard from him again that I know of, and the Cubs would lose 14 straight to open the season. So I wasn't far off. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say it was a GM or a player that had...
No. They called early, though. In 96, when I took the Tribune job and started writing Hit and Run, we heard from the ownership of every Chicago franchise.
Wow.
Including the Cubs, which owned us. Because they were mad about how can they be on the front page doing, why is this guy kicking the crap out of us every day? Well, you know, that was one of the things that either Andy McPhail or Ed Lynch said. And I said, well, you guys suck. That's why you're getting the crap kicked out of you every day. You stop sucking and it won't happen. This is a pretty simple process. Connect the dots. By the way, speaking of which, Mark, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll bring up 2 points to you. I want you to be able to connect these dots. You ready for this? I know it's early on Memorial Day, and yet I believe you're up to this task.
Yeah.
So I'll have a quiz for you. Okay.
Okay. Oh, and
yeah.
We have screwed up the Oh Billy now twice because it's actually from Cable Guy. Because I went from Dumb and Dumber to Liar Liar, and now another texter. And God bless, the texters are up, man. They are up, and I love it. The Oh Billy, it is from Cable Guy. So we have botched it. I'll point the thumb. I've botched it twice. It's the damn Cable Guy.
And it was 97 when the Cubs started 0-14, not 98, thanks to every texter in the free world for letting us know.
Good morning.
Look, it's Saturday Suckage on Monday. Yeah. You weren't going to go far from Suckage once you got Rosenblum and Grody. That's what you got. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
To answer one of the Twitterers who Twittered at me. No, we're not twitching. God, we're going to see. Even though we're sitting in for Molly and Haw and Bernstein and Rahimi and Lawrence Holmes, me and Mark Grody, Monday Suckage, we're sucking for 3 shows so they don't have to. We're not twitching. We're saving you that. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage here on Monday, Memorial Day. Thank you for listening. Mark, here's what I have for you. Here is the quiz I teased before. On May 18th, this Padres pitcher, his name is Yu Darvish, he became the second National League pitcher to throw 7-plus shutout innings with 10 strikeouts or more on fewer than 85 pitches since pitches were first tracked in 1988. 7-plus shutout innings, 10-plus strikeouts, fewer than 85 pitches. The other one was this Braves pitcher by the name of Greg Maddux on September 23rd, 2000. Exactly 81 pitches. So, can you connect the dots?
Between those two guys.
Yu Darvish, Greg Maddux.
Yes, both. Guys that played with the Cubs and have went on to do great things with other teams. And actually, just as they were both getting great with the Cubs, right? Same thing with Greg Maddux, who had won a Cy Young with the Cubs. And then you had Mr. Darvish, who was the runner-up for Cy Young before the Cubs did the salary dump and got rid. And guess what? That complicates everything in the question of
what should the Cubs do at the trade deadline and all of that, and how far up or down do they have to be to add on or to let players go. Like, we could play that game, and it's a fun game to play, but then it always comes back to, God, the Yu Darvish thing. If Yu Darvish was just here, the Cubs would probably be 10 games over 500 right now and maybe have a 2 or 3 game lead in the division, and the conversation would be totally and completely different. And also, BTW, Cubs about to run the gauntlet here in terms of their schedule. Those Padres, those Yu Darvish Padres, are coming to town today, then 3 games at really good San Francisco, and then 4 games at San Diego, and then home to play the Cards. This is going to be, for all the schedule nistas out there who say, well, the Cubs haven't played anybody, here we go. Here we go. They're playing anybody over the next month.
17 straight against teams that would be in the playoffs now if the season stopped today. It doesn't. Ugh. And the 2005 Astros, the season started today. They were 15-30 on Memorial Day, and they ended up meeting the White Sox in the World Series. So pay no attention to the standings behind the curtain. But anyways, as long as you bring up Darvish, he has a 1.6 war among the leaders.
Sure.
Zach Davies, who has pitched great, by and large, last 6 times out, 7 times out, finally got back to 0.0 war, Mr. Blutarski.
Yes.
Yes. So that was Tom Ricketts quitting on you. And now the question you bring up, what would they do now? Let's talk about those 17 games. What does it mean? Who is Tom Ricketts really rooting for coming up? Let's discuss that. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Saturday suckage on Monday, Memorial Day. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for leaving us. But remember, we're here to suck so you don't have to. It's a public service. We're happy to do it. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're going
to
have a team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.